Good morning, Rabbi Shai.
It's very rare that on a secular holiday you could really say good Yom Tov. It's a whole shayla in halacha, how much you could recognize a secular holiday b'chlal. It's also shayla what Thanksgiving is. If it is secular, if it's not, there's all kinds of ikuchim. Rav Moshe has a long tshuva about it with the famous turkey shayla. But the truth is that if you take the day and you use it for extra learning, it's a chzicha Yom Tov. Avidne Yom Tov al-Rabbonim. So now I could say a good Yom Tov without a shayla. Now we stay away from all the shayla. Now you can have turkey today. Just have in mind, you're celebrating the extra learning. There's no shayla then. This is vaday, a special day. And Bereisha Bereishayla, of course I want to thank all those, the Margonim who worked on making this happen. And in the Gishmak Oifen even, you know, with the, I see the Shirayim even that's here in the room still. And I specifically want to thank our dear Alex Kranz, who's always a Rosh Rishon B'chol Dorash HaBekdusha. In fact, that's how we really, you know, people don't notice, but Alex, people look at him like he's mamish, a brother of mine. He's a Baal Tshuva. He didn't start out here in the shul. We were Mekarev. He was Valgan. He was like, as I say, a lost Jew. And the emissaries we met, if you remember, Alex, the way we developed the kasher was through you trying to promote the pirkei for boys learning. I don't know if you remember that. So we could say our whole shaychus is built on you trying to promote more learning. So the Eibush should always give you siyata d'shmaya to be mamshech to promote limud ha-Torah and avodas Hashem. Okay. So the topic for today we're discussing is a very, very interesting topic. It's very negayas. I get to every person in this room. I used to say excluding me now, including me. And I have now, Mitzvah Hashem, 5 more children, Be'ez Hashem, to Mitzvah Hashem marry off. So this negayah to me many times over, Be'ez Hashem. And the question that we're going to deal with really is supporting children. And primarily I want to discuss it from a halacha standpoint, but also we can't do a topic like that without also touching the hashkafa of such a thing. And we're going to try to go through the various sugyas that there are in this parasha, and basically try to, number one, go into hilchos tzedakah. Right, and then work our way from there, meaning there are several things that come to mind when you deal with such a shayla. Number one, could one just look at it like tzedakah? After all, people give tzedakah to everywhere else. So you have your own, right? You have your own, like Yitzi says, right? You have your own koil, Baruch Hashem. Right? Was Yitzi's dream always? He wanted to be a reisha koil. See, he managed to be a reisha koil. Right? A lot of people say, I'm a Rosh HaKoel. People come collecting for a Koel. They say, I have my own Koel. I have my own kids. The question is the first question, before we get into, is it different the fact that it's a son-in-law or a son? Is it different the fact that it's for the purpose of learning? Before you go all the way there, the first step you have to deal with is this considered stalker? Do we have a Sefer Chassidim here? I think we do. We have somebody who can get a Sefer Chassidim. I try to actually make copies here for the Olam, all the Imam Mekhems. There's just too many, so I'll give you so you can look up some of the things later. You know. So, I mean, again, the first thing Lefani is daiti to deal with here is whether there is tzedakah. Because if it's tzedakah, it could be an easy shayla. In other words, for sure, for somebody who can afford it. We'll get to somebody who can't afford it. But somebody who can afford it, and they give tzedakah anyway, right? So say, listen, I'm giving away $40,000 a year tzedakah anyway. So let me give it to my kids. Well, I mean, that's tzedakah. That would be an easy... That's an easy way out. And then we could deal with it hashkafically if it's the right thing or wrong. But that's already secondary, right? The first thing is,
stuck. After all, a couple gets married, if they're not working, if neither of them are working, or even if one of them, if the girl is working, generally speaking, unless it's a very high-powered type of position, it's nowhere near being able to support a family. In Eretz Yisrael, what the girls make is a galechta. My Talmidim say they make about, the wives make about 30 shekel an hour. So it's a, if they find a job. So you're not dealing with, in America it's a little better, but you're not dealing with, unless a girl is a, you know, a lawyer or something, even a lawyer today is a lot of doctor. I'm saying if they have something, they're in finance, they're in some industry that's bringing in, you know, 100,000 plus. Truth is today you need 500,000, but we used to say 100,000 was a, I remember growing up, 50,000 was the mark of somebody who's wealthy. If a guy makes $50,000 a year, he's a gevir. That was when I was growing up. 50,000 was a gevir. The average, 12,000, 15,000, 18,000 was very bad coveted. $18,000 a year was very bad coveted. But things have changed. So, Lamaisa, they're lechayr da'anim. A couple gets married, they are poor. They don't have their own money. And they're poor, and therefore we could say, just leave it at that. Hilchos Tzedakah says, as long as you're somebody that your Tzedakah count has, can carry your children, so do it. The Rambam uses very strong lashon, by the way, when he talks about supporting children, b'chlal, hazon es bonov es benoisov. He says it's Tzedakah, te'ein lecha Tzedakah gedola mizu. It's the best Tzedakah, it's the biggest Tzedakah. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, that provided that the children don't have money, and you're supporting them, up until 6, the Rambam says you chayev to support. 6 years old, I'm talking about. And after 6, Tzedakah. The Rambam says, Ein lecha Tzedakah gedola mizu. What the Rambam lechayev means, which we'll get to as we move on, is that it's Tzedakah kol hakarav kodem. The halacha in Tzedakah is that you have to give Tzedakah to the ones, to the kodem first. No, Ein lecha kodem gadol than your children. That's what I said. That's step two. Step one, I'm not talking about what the children should be doing. I'm talking about step one. Is one Mekayim Tzedakah by giving their children, by supporting their children? If they are, then we'll deal with it hashkafically. Should one do that? Should one train their children to be on the receiving end? That's Shlav Beis. That's a problem we have, not only when they're married. We have that problem from when they're growing up today. Everything is given to the children. That's a different shayla. That's Ashkofer shayla. I told the Talmidim in the yeshiva that I just recently spoke to them about this. I said, the whole world is a fakrunt. A child comes home, ma, what's for supper? Right? That's not ois gehalten shulchan aruch. That's a secular concept. A child comes home from supper according to shulchan aruch. Ma, what can I make you for supper? Sounds crazy, right? Sounds crazy. What I'm telling you is not radical. I'm not one thing I'm zichah not is radical. I'm telling you, halacha shulchan aruch. Halacha shulchan aruch is that a child has to be machil, mashke, the parent. Not the other way around. Look, Baruch Hashem, what Michelle does it. Ashrecha v'toivach. But, it's not only for an older parent. Today, we're rogel that a devoted child, like a Michelle, and I don't throw compliments his way for nothing, so you know what I mean it. A devoted child takes a parent in when they're older, nebuchadnezzar, and incapable. That's not Hilchos Kibud Av V'Aim. Hilchos Kibud Av V'Aim means you have a young, healthy parent. The child is mechuyev to make for the parents. Okay? It could be you wouldn't want to eat the food that your kids would make. That's a different child. But I'm just telling you, if you ask me, proper chinuch in a house, there should be some level of training that a child does for a parent. So that's something very cockeyed b'chlal. Before we get to Eli Shaila about children getting older, they should rely on Tzedakah. When they're growing up, you should start training children. You do for me. You're a child. You do for your parent. Not I do for you. What's the supper? I don't like that. I don't like that. Parents are not waiters. You are, according to Chazal, you're the waiter to your parents. That's Chazal. That's the Chiv D'Raisa. It's even a Shaila in the Perskim. There was a whole Bikurach between Reb Chaim Knievsky, the Ligazun sign, Yibadul Chaim Tevim, and his father, Zatzal, the stipler, because the stipler used to take care of Reb Chaim. Very much so. You know, in many ways, even with giving him food and taking care of him, Reb Chaim was his treasure. And he would make sure that Reb Chaim doesn't have to do anything. You know? So he built his bookcases, Reb Chaim's bookcases in his house. The disciple was a very capable person, physically as well. Strong, and he was capable. But, so there was a whole decor between Reb Chaim and the disciple, whether he can allow his father to do things for him. It's the whole thing. Returning Shalom Zul Kvayde, maybe this. All kinds of decor. But that's the way it should be. A child should be doing for the parent, not there. Today it doesn't work that way. Kids are used to getting everything they want, and then they get married, it continues with the same schlag. That's a different issue. But issue number one is this tzedakah? So l'chayr it is tzedakah. As far as what? You mean using that first? If kids have enough money to be able to generate an income, if they just have a matana, they could still be called aniyim, which we'll get to. If they have enough money that they made by the chasda that could generate an income, you're right, then they're not aniyim. They're not aniyim. If they have enough money to pay for the first half a year to live, they still could be called aniyim. Even though they made $20,000 by the chasda, that won't take them out of category of an oni. If they made enough money that they could generate, they could live off of it, then you're right. I don't think too many kids fall into that. Usually the chasnega, whatever they make, within a short time would be gone. So, assuming that would, I'm going to show you a very big chiddush that it's not like that. I'm talking about giving tzedakah to a perfectly capable person that just doesn't want to work. There are cases like that. Listen, as far as the government is concerned, they're facilitating that. Right? They're facilitating that. There's enough out there now. I'm sure you're all very attuned to the Unaffordable Health Care Act, right? So, it pashut mat kedai. What basically happened is, if you study the numbers, it made people that paid for their own health insurance unable to afford it anymore. So now they're going to get a better plan, taka, and you're going to pay for it. And it's not kedai for them, plus. It's not kedai. The government is, we're reaching a level in society today where it's not kedai for people to work. Because why should I work? If I'm getting what accounts to $50,000 or $60,000 worth of government aid, right? And I'm uneducated, incapable, bourgeois. Why should I do anything? What's the motivation to do anything? If I go full steam, full force, I'll make $20,000 a year. Stay in Kail. So we have a country that's gonna go into Kail. Why not? Does it make sense? Do you do better that way? It's hard to, I sometimes find myself talking to a younger man who's not young anymore, elder man. And they're being the ayats with me, what they should do. And sometimes I'm at a loss to give them advice because they're coming to talk to me ideas when they're 45 years old. Okay? At that stage of the game, they're not trained and they don't have the energy or the kaychas to really throw themselves into anything. So they're gonna either go out there and make a couple of bucks here and there and struggle. Or they can relax and struggle a little less. What's the motivation? The guy's getting government aid for rent. He's getting government aid for health insurance. He's getting government aid for food. He's getting. Why should he try to hop together to work and lose all of that and be worse off? I'm telling you, I have a problem myself because this happened to me once. This has happened to me, you know. I would say well over a dozen times over the last couple of years where people come to me, one is tell me them and I can guide them when they're 25, it's easier. The guy comes to me when he's 45, I'm talking sometimes at a loss. What to tell the guy? I can't give aid to Shana Hagenis. What advice do you give a guy like that? So, Lamaise, if you have somebody who's young, capable to work, but they don't want to work. They don't want to work, they want to sit at home. So in that case, is that story? So I'm going to read you a Sefer Chassidim, and it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, because it's also a Gemara and Ksubis. In other terms, there's a Gemara and Ksubis. The Sefer Chassidim is found in Simon Tov Reish Lamed Hei. Sefer Chassidim says like this. Again, Tov Tov Reish Lamed Hey. Yesh Tztaka, first he says there's a certain kind of Tztaka which is the best Tztaka and you don't even realize it. Shenirish Ein Tztaka, V'lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tztaka Me'ula. Basically, the point of the Sefer Chassidim that we're going to read here is, his main point is, it's the biggest Tztaka you could make for somebody, and you could do for somebody, is to make them a productive person. That's the Tztaka. Tztaka is not to keep a person a shnora. That's a b'di'evet Tztaka. That's not a chatchila Tztaka. He says the best Tztaka is, im yesh lechefetz limko, oy sefer shen chafetz liknois, fadum kenei miyodoi. He says, if you have a way of getting a poor person to make their own money, sell them something, let them buy something, do business with them, try to bring them to Madrid that they could produce. He says, you would think you're doing business. He says, you're wrong. This he calls, that's the best stocker by HaKadosh Baruch. You bring a person, you put him, you're making him a shnora. That's the biggest level stocker. A guy who is a scribe, he's a cipher, right? And you hire him. Ain't stalker, says the Sefer Chassidim. This is the best stalker. The best stalker. If you have a company and you hire 50 Jews to work for you, that is the best stalker. If these 50 Jews weren't highly demanded employees, and you went and took them and hired them, that is Tztaka Me'ula. That's the highest level Tztaka. He says, "Avlim tira ish yochal lumoid v'umeivin v'soifer shiyochal lichtoiv." What happens if you see somebody who's capable? V'einim roitzim. They don't want to. They don't want to teach. They don't want to write. They don't want to do things that they're capable of doing. Says the Sefer Chassidim, "In titeim lohem Tztaka." If you're going to go and give them Tztaka, you think you're doing tztaka? Tzaka. It's a himmel gishrei. It's a negativity. You're not doing a favor here. Azay zok the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim basically is saying that to go ahead and assist somebody to be an invalid, right, is not tztaka. So to take somebody that's perfectly capable to make money and to tell them, you know what? You don't have to make money. Sit around. Be samech on stalker. Zokter, it's not stalker, but he needs tzaka. It's not only it's not stalker, but he needs tzaka. That's his loss. So this is the Sefer Chassidim. And he says, not only that, Kvayochel, the Eibishter doesn't have rachmanis on this guy. The Sefer Chassidim says, Al kein lo yirachmei lo yiseyu v'yetzrei lo yichoninai. He's quoting a pasuk here from Yeshaya, that somebody, lo yambinaisu, it's a nation that's not wise, meaning you're sitting around doing nothing. So really, tztaka is to make somebody productive. Okay? Obviously, if somebody is suffering, they can't live, and you help them live, that's tztaka. If you take a person and you bring him to a level where he could generate his own livelihood, that's a higher level tztaka. Because you're making him more productive. Being dependent, dependency is not productivity. Dependency is survival. Maybe. It's a shtickle survival. Right? Only choshev kemeis. It's a shtickle survival. So, does look down, the Sefer Chassidim. This you should know. The only reason why I'm bringing the Sefer Chassidim rather than the Gemara and Ksubis, because the Gemara and Ksubis is a little different than the Sefer Chassidim. The Gemara and Ksubis is talking about somebody who actually sounds like he has money. He just doesn't want to, you know, he suffers from the ability to be able to use his own money for himself. Okay. It's like a sickness. It's a sickness. The Sefer Chassidim is basically taking that idea of the Gemara, and he's saying it's no different than if you have money, or you have talents. You have abilities that you're not cashing in. What's the difference if you have a bank account that you could draw on, or you have abilities that you could draw on? Same thing. That's the point of the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim is making that analogy from the sugi. The sugi is found in Maseches Ksubos, and the Gemara says like this: somebody who has, and he doesn't want to support himself. Yes, he can't support himself. He doesn't want to. So the Gemara brings one opinion. They give him, and then you go and collect it from him. In other words, you help him live, and the Rishonim, the Rif explains, after he dies, you collect the money back from the Yerushim. Meaning, poor guy, he has a sickness, he can't cash into his own estate to be able to support himself, so you give him money for survival. And now the Chachamim say, no, ain't his kakam loy. The Chachamim say, we don't bother with a guy like that. The guy doesn't want us to cash into his own account. Well, fine. I'll tell you what the Ran says. It's a scary Ran. Because the Ran says, we're talking about a guy, everybody agrees, even Reb Meir, who says you give him money and then you collect it from his Yerushim, agrees that you don't just do that stam. You'd only do it if it's desperate. So the Ram says here as follows. He says, the reason why Reb Meir says give him is you don't want the guy to die. The guy's dying. You don't want him to die. He says, Moistin le shumatona kadesha yisakim ba'atzmei machmas kamtsunuse. He shouldn't endanger his life because of his cheapness. He's so cheap, he's going to kill himself. The choizim v'miframi menuach hamisa. And after he dies, we collect money from the estate. Chachomim say, ain't this kokim loy. The Chachomim say, we don't bother with him. We don't bother with him. Zokter Rambai, so we're talking about a guy who's, we're afraid he'll die. He'll starve himself to death. Literally, chobiv olav mamoyna yoysa migufay. Says the Ran, the imamos yamos. Could you imagine? Pikuach nefoshes. The greatest mitzvah we have. Pikuach nefoshes. Says the Ran, v'im yomos, yomos. If he'll die, he'll die. That's what the Chachamim said. The guy doesn't want to cash into his own thing. V'im yomos, yomos. If he dies, he dies. That's not your business. Hazei zok Torah. So what I'm saying now is like this, basically. What comes out of this, and this is what's kepaskit. If we look in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridaya, so we'll see that the Shulchan Aruch actually seems to paskin this way. There's a whole debate about this. You see, it's if you're asking me how Lamaisa do we apply the Ran? No. If a person reaches a point where they will die, we will feed them. We don't go to the extent of the Ran. And that's what applies to medical. And very often, it's that border that's very hard to make exactly where it is, where you draw the line where you say somebody is sick. They're not really, you can't judge them. They're sick. It's like we know if somebody takes their own life, so we don't accord them the COVID lachamisa, right? Spadim, Wagabi Avelis in some situations. But today you will never find how Lamaisa that you don't, that came out that people wouldn't sit shiva on somebody even if they were, you know, instrumental in their death. And that is because usually the Rabbonim involved were paskin that the person was a chayla and didn't really know what they were doing. Which is very often the case. It's not like they have to stretch it very much. So we go to your case, but I'm just bringing you the Ran to show you the extreme that the Ran was going to such a level, then Yamas, Yamas. Now we look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Nun Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that, like this Gemara, Osha Amar of Atzmoy, if you have a person that has money, he's not using it. So again, according to the Sefer Chassidim, it doesn't make a difference if he's rich or he's able and he's not doing what he can do. That's the point of the Sefer Chassidim. This is the same, because what's the difference if he has money he can go to or he has a job that he can have? Now, if he's unemployed and he's trying to find a job, then he's like any honey. But if there are jobs out there available to him and he's not taking it, I don't want to do it. Oh, we'll get to job being bakovedik. There's no job that's not bakovedik enough that you should take stock of because of it, which we'll see later on in Shulchan Aruch. But al kuponim, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. So now, when we go back to our Shaila, We don't have such an easy fix. I said, one way is easy. If a guy has money, I'm talking about a person who has money. He has money, he can anyway give away $100,000 a year to stalker. He could say, easy, I support my children. Support three children every year. I'll give $35,000, my mahutin will give $35,000. They're supported. Done. I, why, how, it's stalker. So I'm telling you, not push it. Because if in fact the young couple should be fending for themselves, if in fact, we'll get to whether they should or they shouldn't. I'm just saying, if they should be fending for themselves, and they're not, and they can, and they're not, so then you're facilitating it. And that, the Sefer Chassidim says, is not stalking. So all I'm telling you is, we don't have an easy fix. The shit could have ended right here. Done. Not so pashut. It's not an easy fix. Because stam to give stalker to somebody who can afford it. Now, this is further seen in the Drisha. I don't know if the Elam got a chance. You saw the Drisha? Was that on the Mamma Kaim, Mr. Drisha? What? It was. So I don't know if the Elam got a chance to see the Drisha. But the Drisha is actually Oymed in Siman Ayin Aleph. He's Oymed on a contradiction from the Shulchan Aruch, from two halachas. The Drisha says as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, Chayiv Adam Lozen es Bono Bubnoi Sevat Shehim Bnei Sheish. And then he says that that still in all, Misham Ve'eloch Mitzvah Lezono, Achiyu Gedoyle. The Lashon of the tour is you only have to support your children until they're six. Right? But stalker, it's still a mitzvah to keep on supporting them. The Shulchan Aruch says, till when? Ad sheyigdulu. Till they become gedolim. So the Drish is bothered, what do you mean gedolim? Look at today, we all have gedolim, right? We're supporting our children when they're three times the shear of Baal Mitzvah. Right? What's with that? So the Drish says like this. He says, why does it say gedolim? Dictate lichtev ad sheyigdulu. He says, why did the Torah write till gedolim, till Baal Mitzvah? He says, you know why? He says, because mamish the yisoid of the Sefer Chassidim. He says like this, v'nirah d'loy kiosh kosher midi. D'vaday in yadua sha'benoi k'hoivav I efshar lehispalneis. If a child cannot support themselves, then there's a mitzvah to keep on supporting them. He says, then of course, Azai tzrichim la'achilu shalayomus parov. What do you, of course, your first responsibility is to your children. He says, but, elo da'ad sheyigdulu, the reason why the Torah wrote until they become Baal Mitzvah, the mistame, he says, once they get older, till they become Baal Mitzvah, ein lohem shum esek masu matin. Ma'shekin la'acha sheyigdulu, yocho ha'av le'meima, the father could turn to his son and say, Tispalnes mi maisa yadayim. Go support yourself. So actually the Drisha learns that the reason why, this is in Siman Ayin Aleph, the Drisha learns that the reason why the Torah used this language, that you should support your child until he becomes a gadol, there's a mitzvah too, and he didn't say there's a mitzvah beyond that, is because normally once the kid is beyond the gadol, he can support himself. So support yourself. That's what the Drisha says. Now, so that really supports this, what I'm telling you over here, which is that there's a big difference between somebody who can support himself and somebody who cannot support himself. So stop to support people, capable people, is not necessarily tzedakah. Not only is it not necessarily tzedakah, it would appear from the Sefer Chassidim that it's actually the wrong thing to do. And if you're facilitating the person to continue to be that way, you may be doing an aveir. Because you're facilitating a person should never be incapable, not be able to support themselves. So that's a shtey. I tell this to people sometimes when they have a child. in their business. They have a business, they make a child a manager or whatever in the business. And I tell them, and sometimes the parent will tell me, you know, my son is not doing anything. He knows he's the boss's son. But I feel it's my kid, it's my achrayus, it's my... My kid comes to work every day, he does nothing. He knows, listen, Papa owns the business. Right? If the father owns the nursing home, or the father owns the hotel, or the father owns the factory, he knows he's got a job there, loyal and worth this guy. Right? So I often tell people, you're not doing your kid a favor. Because you're not training your child how to be able to live. This is a fake life. Your child's not an infant. Your child's a chagobo. I'm not going to kid that's learning. That's the next shlav. I'm talking about regular. So you take your kid into your business, and he sits, he comes in 10 o'clock, he takes a cup of coffee, he smooths around, talks to the worker. Most of them end up being like a negative. Because when you have somebody at work who's not working, it's a negative. It's not just, they drain the business. You're not doing the kid a favor. Anyhow, they come to place. Now, furthermore, there's a tshuva chasam sofer. Actually, in Yerideya, we discuss that somebody who has a poor person, a poor parent, Reish Chavtes. It's in tshuva Reish Chavtes in Yerideya. And he actually comes out that even a parent, Rachmana Litzlan, he says you have the highest level stock to support a parent if they're poor. He says, but if the parent is capable to work, then that's not the right, it's not mechuyev to pay them, so they shouldn't work. So Mikol Hulein, it would seem very clear that there's no such a mitzvah to stop support people. Now again, I'm not touching upon klal. I'm touching upon period. Supporting children after marriage. If the child is capable to work, and the child is not learning and not working, they're enjoying. I can tell you, I was in Eretz Yisrael when I was learning, and situation has only deteriorated. There were plenty of young couples that had a 2 to 4 year honeymoon in Eretz Yisrael. 2 to 4 year honeymoon. Parents sent them to Eretz Yisrael, got them an apartment there, they went on vacations, Yom HaMelech, and it depends on the season. Wherever was more, you know, the best place to be, they went to eat out, they used to eat out. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. If a couple have, why mechtes? Why should you have a honeymoon for a week? Have a 4 year honeymoon. And on top of all of that, in America, if you did something like that, they'd look at you like a bum. What are you doing? Over there, he's learning an elf as well. He even has the COVID of it too. Comes back from elf himself. Are you a 4 year younger man? Yeah? And he knows the whole, everything. He's gone through the whole, he's eaten up the gans. He was quite the shell of Israel. From a lot to the other side. So final of a negmo. It's all gewalik. So I'm saying, if you have a child that's not learning, but at the beginning we said, at least it's stuck. So I'm telling you it's not stuck. If you have a child that's capable, now, if a child is going to school because they're not capable now to support themselves, and the school is a way of facilitating for them to be able to make an income further on in life, that would be stalking. Right? If a person, let's go to extremes. If a person is a medical student, and the parent is paying for the medical school, supporting the child while he's in medical, so he should be able to become a doctor and support himself, that would be stalking. La'avdu, if a child is learning in a koil and he's getting smicha, so he should be able to go into rabbonis or into chinuch, whatever, that vada would be tztaka. No question. What I'm saying is, if you have a child that's not producing, they're just living off the parents. So we said, l'chayr it's tztaka. I'm telling you now, it's not tztaka. Not only it's not tztaka, it could actually be a negativity. In the opposite of tztaka, the lashon of the pasuk in Yeshaya, tztaka of the hinei tzaka. It's a geshrei. That's them. And I can tell you, I see it. I see bein ayisi, people that don't work for a couple of years, they become, every year that they're not doing anything, they become more and more unproductive and incapable to be able to become capable. It's almost, it's negative training. And that's what it is. It's negative training. And it infuses the person with bad midas too. Because in most cases, there's somebody else supporting them who's working very hard. Who's working very hard. And it's if you're not doing anything, if you're not being productive, you're not doing anything, all you're doing is doing nothing, and you have somebody supporting you, who feels an achrayus to support you, that's the achzorius. It's mamish achzorius.
It doesn't change the responsibility
of the child to keep their parents from the parent's money, to make them a team. That's something else, has nothing to do with this. We're just saying, supporting a parent. The halacha is if a parent is poor, then you do have to support them.
If they're not poor,
you only have to help them. You don't have to support them. And the Chassam Sofer is saying that even if they are poor, but the reason why they're poor is they just don't want to work. Please give me money so I don't have to work. So you don't have to do that. You can say work.
But it's still to give the
of course. Kibbutz is always the same. Kibbutz never changes. The question is putting out money for it. That's the question. Okay. Now we go up the bar. We're going up the ladder. We don't have so much time. We'll go up the ladder to the... First, we thought it was simple. I'm telling you now, it's not simple. It's not simple. So now we go up the ladder. Still sticking to the fact that it's stalker. Is there another way to look at this as stalker? Well, once the child is learning, okay, so now it already puts it into a different category. Not because they're children. We'll get to the fact that they're children. That's the next level. The fact that it's your child. But first, let's just deal with it as we were dealing with it as only as stalker, right? So level one stalker was maybe it's just stalker to support a young couple doing nothing. That's not stalker. If they can support themselves, it's not stalker. Okay. Next level up. A person's learning. They want to learn Torah. So learning Torah already puts it into a different category. Seems, according to Shulchan Aruch, seems to put it into a different category. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this. It's in Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is not in Hilchos Stalker. This is in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Shulchan Aruch says here, in Reish Mem Vav, he says like this. Says the Ramah, and the Ramah is more or less a quote of the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yevul, the end of Shmita V'Yevul. The Ramah says as follows: Kol Ameisim Libo Lasek BaTorah. If somebody says, you know, I want to learn, I'm not talking about a child. Anybody out there says, you know what, I'm capable to learn. I want to learn. I want to make learning into my life. V'Loy Lasek Melocha. I don't want to work. Because if I'm going to learn, I can't do both. I can't do both. So the halacha is, he makes a distinction. He seems to say like this. First he says, if a guy can support himself, he's healthy. And he could work a shtickle. He can work a little bit. And support himself. Which, by the way, was the Chazanish doctrine. The Chazanish held very much of working a little bit, enough to live. The Chazanish Talmidim, there was nothing wrong with owning a fruit store. Chazanish is, I'm talking about Talmidim that were Goyim and Bekiyim B'Shas. To them, it was not a bizoyan at all to have a fruit store on the side. It's not that they did it, wow, look at that tzaddik. This was by the Chazanish Al-Khatkhila. This was not a bidiyevit. Chazanish sold herring. That's not a big effort. But that's a unique person that can actually juggle, you know, pretty much beholding and learning, and yet do, so the Ramah seems to say that's ideal. That's the ideal. So he says like this. If a person, he says, decides, you know what, I'm learning, and I don't want to even do the little bit that it takes for me to make a living. So he uses very strong language. He goes to the Rambam, and he says, "Hareze mechalal Hashem." It's almost like he's looking for, you know, I'm learning, so everybody else should worry about me. Hareze mechalal Hashem u'mevazeh satreh. Strong words, the Rambam uses. It's the Rambam's lashon. He says, "She'osur lehonos midivrei Torah." You're not allowed to benefit from Torah. Use Torah as a means. And he says, "V'chol Torah she'eini mamalocha goyeres avim." Any Torah that's not does have a little melacha with it, a little work. So basically what he's saying is, pretty much learn and try to find a way to make a little panos on the side. The chol zeh b'bori, says the Rambam. Somebody who's healthy, capable, they could do it. The yochol lasik b'melacha, ktsas, could do a little work, lachis atzmoi, but zokin echayla, but a guy who's weak and frail, where either he's working or he's learning, he can't juggle the two. Then the Rambam says, mutter lehanes miterosei v'yishis apkuloi. Then it's mutter. The Rambam says, then there's no problem. So in other words, somebody who's old or weak, were not capable, and the only way for them to really be holding and learning is to be supported. They're allowed to come on the tzedakah. It's not like that guy in Ksubis that we spoke about who could support himself and is not. That guy's sitting in the recliner. This guy is herving and learning. Rambam says that's okay. And then he says, the Yeshayman, Tafilu Bori Mutter. Even a Bori is permitted. And then he goes on to say, that's why the meaning has evolved, says the Rambam. Shaharav Shalair Yeshway Hachnosa of the Sipuk Meyan Shayir. Why does a rabbi get supported by the tzibur? Why don't you tell the rabbi the same thing? Get yourself a job on the side. So the Rambam says, because it's not really a lemaisa. Kedeshul Yisach Lasik Melocha V'Yizbaza HaTeva. He says, Avol Davke Chochem HaTzorich Vazeh. Anyway, and then he goes and says there's somebody that makes even more than that. Not only the rabbi, V'Yesh Mekilim Yosef, D'Mutu L'Chochem L'Talmidov, L'Kabel HaSpokos Min HaNoisnim Kedei L'Hachzik Yidah Alom D'Tera, Sh'Al Yidei Zeh Yuchlu L'Hachzik B'Tera. They'll be able to learn Torah. The bottom line is, the Rambam seems to be saying here that somebody who really can't make it happen, where he can learn and juggle making the panos on the side, it's okay for him to get stuck. It's not like a person who says, I'm sitting at home and stop doodling around. This is okay. Seems to give the okay on it. He still ends by saying, Mikol Mokim, Nisha Efshaloi L'Sparnes Heitiv Mimaisi Yodav. Somebody who could manage to also work on the side and make a living. V'lasik b'Torah, Midas Chassidusu. U'mata Selokimhi. Ach Einze Midas Kol Adam. The Rambam concedes that in our day and age it's not possible. The Tanoim used to be shoemakers. The B'yechlas Handla. Right? Today you're not going to find too many shoemakers that are Poiske Hador. They can't juggle it the way they used to. That's what the Rambam says. She'ef shall call them lasik b'Torah, spanish b'atzmai. It doesn't work so well. And that's the verb. This is what he says. This is what the Rambam says. So the Rambam opens the door to the fact that even somebody who can work and support himself, if he cannot juggle learning and working, and he decides to put his life really into learning, and accept stalker like other people out there accept stalker, it's okay. It's Peseder. So this opens the door today to what we would call koil. Period. I'm not even talking about getting from your parents' money. I'm talking about the concept of koil is really riding on this Rambam. That the Rambam says that even though a person, Yofa Torah Derech Eretz, and but the Rambam says, just like in the olden days, if somebody was too weak to juggle both, it was self-understood. In fact, many Rishonim had kindness on the Rambam, because the Rambam came out with such harsh words in his Pirkei Avos and in his Hilchos Talmud Torah that you absolutely cannot be supported by people. The other Rishonim had very harsh words against the Rambam. They felt that the Rambam was zeicha to be able to juggle it. He was a top medical doctor, world-renowned doctor. He worked for the Sultan. He was able to make a panosa. The Tashbetz writes several tshuvas. The Chelek Aleph of the Tashbetz, Simen Kufman Beis, and onward. He says, I don't know what the way how the Rambam could say such a thing. He says, Mimnei shahoy oloi mazel, that's the Russian he uses. Because he had a mazel. Ma yasu shara chachomim. What should the rest of the Talmid Chachomim do? Who aren't the Sultan's doctors? So they have big kindness on the Rambam. If you remember, years ago I gave a long shiur on this topic about the Rambam versus the other Rishonim, and I came out that there wasn't such a big machloikis from the Rishonim. The Rambam is talking about the person who's using Torah as a means to support himself. Not he's Oisik in Torah and he happens to need Parnas on the side. The Rambam is talking about that unique individual that says, you know what? I want to use Torah as a profession. So he goes to a career counselor. And the career counselor tells him, okay, you can either go into law, you could go into finance, medicine, engineering. And the guy said, hey, I got another thing I could go into. Torah. Go into that field. That's what the Rambam's talking about. If you look at the Rambam where he talks very harshly against this ideology, he says, anybody who puts into his mind, she'eino yefarnes es atzmai, he's not going to support himself. Rather, he's going to go to the world and have them support him, and he'll learn. See, he's using learning as a profession. Not he's the, at the end of Shemitah v'Yovel, the Rambam writes, lo yishevet levi bulvad, kol ish asher, it's mamash a direct contradiction. Kol ish v'ish v'kol bo yeilom shenot v'ruch yoyisrei, v'amar v'li bodo l'fnei Hashem. The Rambam says, gevaldik, any Jew could dedicate his life to Hashem, and he says, and Hashem will support him, just like he supported the Levim. How did Hashem support the Levim? By us. We had a tax, we supported the Levim. The Rambam says that every Jew could be zeicher to that. What's the difference? I hold this is the difference. Somebody wants to make learning into a profession. Somebody wants to learn and they're being supported because this is the only way for them to learn. And that's what the Rambam is saying. So what I'm telling you is, once we're dealing with learning, so now there's a different level. A different level. Now already, you're not called facilitating poverty. You're called supporting Talmud Chacham. That's already a whole different parish. So that L'chaira, we go back to our thing. Maybe that's allowed to be done if it's stuck. You could do it for any Talmud Chacham. Surely your son or your son-in-law. Any young man that wants to dedicate his life to learn Torah, the Ramos seems to be saying that if that young man wouldn't be able to juggle the type of learning that he's doing with making a panasa, beseder. So that is where we begin to see a light in what we're doing, in our type of. Now, however, two significant points. Which, by the way, this, the way I'm learning now, it explains why there's no contradiction, because over here it seems to say that it's okay. In Reish Nun Aleph, there's another Shulchan Aruch, another halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Nun Aleph. And over there, I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch portion. Shulchan Aruch says that, kol agolo b'chaveroi takeret. The bigger the Talmud Chacham, the more you should support him. If you're giving tzedakah, you have one guy that's a big Talmud Chacham, give him more. Kol akoidim zocha. And then he says, "Ba'medvam u'shavim b'chochma, v'um hoyu mamzat talmud chacham kredim, v'chol agodol b'chochma kredim l'chaveru." He seems to say that faket. He's strengthening what we're learning here in the Ramah. The guy's learning talmud chacham. Support him. Adarabba, give him before somebody else. That's what he seems to say over here. But then you go to Reish Nun Hei, and in Reish Nun Hei, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that Lo'oilom getting Elitiyos Shaila. Lo'oilom yarchik Adam atzmoy mihat stalker. Shulchan Aruch says you should stay away from stalker. The yagalgal atzmoy b'tzar shalo yitzarach labrius. And better do something which is painful than to come on to people. As I state in the Chaver. And then he writes, fa'afilu hoya chocham mechubad. Even if the guys are bakovetik atamal chocham. Yasoik beumnis. He should work. Fa'afilu beumnis minuvelas. And even if it's a low class job. Va'al yitztarech labrius. Seems to be a contradiction. And the answer, I believe, is very simple. We're still going back to our basic foundation to all of this. And that is, l'chatchila, you should juggle learning upon us if you can. This is, a person could do that, gevaldik, a chazanishnik. He's pretty much learning Yom HaLaila. On the side, he has a store, he has a business, his wife runs a business, he helps somehow make it work. Now, if you can't do that, then you could take the tzedakah. If you're already taking tzedakah, then you have kedimah. You get it first. It's a Talmud Chacham. He gets it first. So this is what seems to come out. Now, based on this, there would still be a significant nekuda that l'chayra, a person shouldn't be able to be supported in luxury. You know what I mean? That l'chayra shouldn't work. A guy, because in other words, if we're saying like this, the reason why it's okay is because a person's learning Torah, they can't manage, they're entitled to tztaka. Okay, so now it goes with the halachas of tztaka. Tztaka is not luxury. That means the Adam or the son shouldn't be telling his father or father-in-law, you know what, I need a new car, and your daughter needs a new car, and leather couches. I mean, I don't have a leather couch. So what? You don't have. Rahman will fall on you. I'll have you in mind in my learning. You should be zeche. Schus von mein Tere. You should be zeche. If it's stocker, then l'chayri, you're limited to what the Shulchan Aruch says. And the Shulchan Aruch, l'maisa paskins, by us, and who was stuck in Reish Nun Gimel, Misha Yesh, if you have extra money, or kalim, or silver kalim, or you have luxuries, you have to sell them before you take stock. Right? So it's not so posh for us to say, okay, you know what? So, two points I'm bringing out here. Number one, this has to be a young man, whether it's your son or son-in-law, that's taka learning. Not that's, you know, officially, taka is learning. Because if he's not learning, then you're not only you're not mechuyev to do it, you shouldn't do it. If the guy's a batlan, okay, but he wants to be a younger man rather than a balabos, because it's classier, right? In his mind, whatever, it's classier. So not only you're not mechuyev to do that, you're not allowed to do that. You're facilitating batlanos. You're facilitating anias. That you're not allowed to do. But if you have a son or a son-in-law that's taka la torah v'alavoda, and he's learning Yom and Valila, and he's really into the learning, and really for him to do anything on the side would be a distraction. Right? That means he's not going on vacations and traveling and shopping around at night and reading newspapers and hanging out. He's really learning. That's what he's doing. And for him to go and do other things would take away from his learning. So then he qualifies to get stuck. But if it's stalker that you're giving him, then l'chayri he should not be taking luxuries. He should be taking basics. I have cases where a guy wants to give his son or son-in-law his old car. He's going to lease a new one. And I'm not kidding. The Eidim tells the Shmer, I really had in mind something, a new one. You know, just like you don't want it, I don't want it. I mean, this is not the... We upgrade to get oiler, the inner yeah. You know, this doesn't work. So Lamaisa, the unterste shul is Lahalacha, as it comes out Grada right now, I'm driving the older car, my Adam is driving the newer car, but it's only temporary. They're going to Eretz Yisrael in the week, so I figured let him have the Kisei Malchus. But that was my doing. But the unterste shul is that lahalacha, l'chayra, you have these two issues. Number one, it has to be some astaka, oisik in learning. And number two, l'chayra, it's not on the lap of luxury. It's we're acknowledging that it's... So there are two caveats here. Number one, there is something called Yisachar Zvul, as we know. Now Yisachar Zvul is different than regular. We discussed Yisachar Zvul concept philosophically, machshava, many, many times. I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. There's no time for that. But Yisachar Zvulun is a partnership. Okay? It's not, if somebody could get me a Moshe, Yerodeya Chilak Dalet. It's a partnership. So there it's very different. When you have a partnership, Yisachar Zvulun, that's not stocker money. That's not considered stocker money. That's considered a deal. That the Torah established something called Yisachar Zvulun, and that's a partnership. That, he could have luxuries. He could have luxuries. And that there's no stira with the union of luxuries in that idea. There's no contradiction. So if you look in Reb Moshe, This is in Chelek Dalad Yeredeya. He says a very interesting chiddush here. See, how much do you have to give to get a Yisachar Zvun? So you have all kinds of Yisachar Zvun deals flying around. You have some guys that have 10 different partners. Yisachar Zvun. First of all, that's not the way Yisachar Zvun deal works. It works, you can only have one Zvun. Can't start making 100 partners. Okay? I know of cases where there are many, many partnership documents were written, and one time the two partners met, and they weren't very happy. But the Afas Sakte Da'anya learns that you make the deal, however you make the deal. You tell the guy, I'll give you $50,000 a year, I'll give you $100,000, whatever your deal is, you make a deal with the guy. And that's your deal, that's your partnership. That's how he learns, it's like any partnership. Reb Moshe goes way beyond that. Reb Moshe writes here in Lamed Zion as follows. He feels that Yisachar Zvulun, we know it's a tremendous chiddush, the whole concept that Yisachar Zvulun works. Reb Moshe feels that the idea of Yisachar Zvulun is a guy who's really saying, you know, what you're doing is really what I want to be doing. I want to be learning. Either I can't, I'm not as capable as you are, I'm machshev what you're doing more than me. So I'm out there supporting this, because this is, really, this is what I want to be. You're not buying in a stock. That's not the way the shiftus works. That there's a lahavdil on NASDAQ, there's a stock you're buying, it's called a terrorist stock, zvun, and this is what it goes for. That's not the way it is. The Moshe says, tzorech latzei shuftuzu dafke,
that's it.
That's the idea. And then he says, "Tzorich lachloik imoy b'schar." Yeah, it's a 50-50 deal. 50-50. So guys making $1 million a year, it's $500,000. It's not here to put them in the pushkas womb. Huh. There's no zvulun pushka, you put in and Yisachar gets it and it means you're partners. Okay, so you're partners. Just like if you had a partner and you're a 50-50 partner at work, what would you say? Okay, we pay 50-50. I do my thing, you do your thing. Right? That's Yisachar zvulun. 50-50. That's how Moshe sees Yisachar zvulun. But whether you learn like that for Sakta Dan, you most don't learn like Moshe to that extent. That Reb Moshe says. Now, Mistama, even Reb Moshe would agree that if the Yisachar tells the Zvulun, you know what, I'm entitled to 50%, but you could keep, you know, as the working partner I'm giving you, you could keep 3/4. He's just saying, you have to offer that. That's Reb Moshe. You're offering the 50% of the, your partner of mine, we're partners. So there's no problem of luxury. So if you have a Yisachar Zvulun deal with somebody, the guy's allowed to have something nicer. It's not like Hilchos Stalker where you have to start thinking, I'm being supported by Stalker, am I allowed to have this luxury? So that's that. But now we go to the next Shlav. So far we had Stalker, we discounted it, then we had Torah, and we said that does work, provided that the person is exclusively learning and anything else will distract him, and that's what he's doing. Then we had a level higher than that, and that's Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar Zvulun would even be entitled to have luxuries. Now, does it make a difference if it's your son-in-law, or son-in-law? Does that make a difference now over everything that we had? So this is not so poshut, right? This we have to look. I only have another about eight or nine minutes here, but we'll try to cover as much as we can here. This touches upon a lot of the Ma'ar Mekaymus that I gave you. I didn't want to give you the old stock of Ma'ar Mekaymus because time would not avail itself. Here we have a lot of sugyas, hashas, that seem to imply that it's different when it comes to having a son or a son-in-law or a father-in-law. This is different. This is not the regular channel. Till now we're dealing with stucker channels. Now we go to the next level. Right? Because here we have the Gemara in Pesachim that I asked the Olam, I'm sure you all looked up the Gemara. And the Gemara seems to imply shkech. The Gemara seems to imply that a person should sell everything they have to marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. And a person should sell everything they have to get a son-in-law, Talmud Chacham. So it seems to be a different type of relationship here. That's the lashon. Says, "Lo'ilam yimkodem kol ma'ashayesh lo'visa bas Talmud Chacham." A person should sell everything he has to get a daughter of Talmud Chacham. And also, the yimko kol ma'ashayesh lo'visa bas Talmud Chacham, the asibito le Talmud Chacham. So it seems to be that when it comes to shiduchim, right, and creating a match, then we don't use the regular channels that we were using till now in Hilchos Tzedakah. How much you give it? Now it's something else. It's almost, I don't want to bring it down to that level, because it's a little bit bizarre to talk in that term, but it's almost like you're buying a Talmud Chacham. You're buying a Talmud Chacham. And it's buy a Talmud Chacham. So for this, it's a different level. For this, maybe, you need a, you have to go all out to get a Talmud Chacham. No, this is not stock. This is a purchase. Purchase. Sounds like from the Gemara. This is a commodity. Person should sell all they have. And I have a big stickle of this actually in my sefer that we put out for the chasana about stam, whether today there's a din Talmud Chacham in this regard. Whether it is b'chlal halacha or Talmud Chacham in this regard. Now, so when it comes to that, there are two issues that I would like to raise. Issue number one is the whole idea of paying for a shidduch. Paying for a shidduch. So first of all, paying for a shidduch is not, conceptually, paying money to get a shidduch is not something that's unheard of. It's definitely not unheard of. But I'm talking about from a chazal standpoint. Because the Gemara Kiddushin Daf Chof Tes, the Mishnah says a person has to marry off his son. The Gemara then discusses, how do you marry off a son? Marry off of it. So the Gemara says, well, a son, this is what you do. And a daughter, you give her an adunya and you give her things and people will want to marry her, right? The Gemara seems to be saying that a parent has a mitzvah to marry off their child to such a level that even if it costs money to make it happen, they have to do that. They have a mitzvah to do that. Okay, that's the Gemara says. And that's why you can't take it out of Maaser money. Let's say a Shatran wants $5,000. You can't take the $5,000 out of Shatran, out of Maaser money. Why not? Because even if the Shatran qualifies for Maaser, let's say he's a poor man. He's only. Still can't do it. Why? Because you are mechuyev al pidin to pay Shatranos. And you have to do that. You have to do that. The Avnei Nezer says, L'choyer is a Chosan Kala, they owe it. But forget Chosan Kala for a moment, because today Chosan Kala owe nothing. They don't have a kiss, right? They don't, no such thing. They're immune from bills. Right? It's like an embassy with Gabi bills. Right? There's no bills. But the Gemara is saying here that a father and mother have a chiyuv, at least a father for sure, most we should learn the mother as well, to facilitate that the child should get married, even if it costs money. So therefore, clearly shatchanus is an obligation. Clearly that obligation is on the parent as well, not just on the child. And therefore, parent won't be able to take maaser k'safon. Now, if you have a shatchan who's a poor person, and you could give them $1,000 in b'yotze yachiyuv shatchanus, right? Or $1,500. And you decide, you know what, I'm going to go all out, I'm giving them $5,000. Yeah? So then you could deduct whatever is above the industry standard for Maaser. Because that's not a chiyuv. That you're voluntarily giving, you're doing it nicely, you're giving it like a shatran money, but that you could deduct. But the shatran is you can't deduct because that's a chiyuv you have. So now the question is, if you have a boy that's a Talmud Chacham, and he says, listen, this is what I need. You want to make a shidduch with me? I need $50,000 a year for the next 15-20 years. This is what I need. You want me? This is my price. And you start telling him, well, I don't know. He says, well, I'm a Talmud Chacham. Look at the Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Tes. And you see, Shtei Toni, Yim Kodem Kol Ma'asheyesh Lo. Right? So I'll tell you like this. That alone is not pushed. Not pushed. Because of the fact that today, a Talmud Chacham has not really been Nimsa. A Talmud Chacham of this level is not been Nimsa. So meaning, the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, in Ilchus Mas, in Reish Mem Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says that today we don't really have a Talmud Chacham that's potter from taxes. So in the olden days they also had parsonage. Talmud Chachamim, potter from taxes. But now the Supreme Court, I understand, is handling with it again, the Shaila. But the Ramot, maybe the Supreme Court was Mayan in the Shulchan Aruch and they saw that today there's no Talmid Chachamim Pturim from Mas. Maybe that's where they got it from. But Lamaisa, there is such a thing that a Talmid Chachamim is, today we don't have a Talmid Chachamim, we've got to be a lot of halachas. So to say that you have to sell everything you have to get a son of Talmid Chachamim, a son-in-law of Talmid Chachamim, that I would say is not applicable. It's not applicable. Even the Shulchan Aruch and Ebn Ezer, when the Shulchan Aruch, I gave the Eilim this to look up, when the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha, Shulchan Aruch just says, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Yishtadel. Shulchan Aruch says that a person should be Mishtadel to marry a Talmud Chacham. To marry off the daughter to a Talmud Chacham, to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. Yishtadel. Right? You should work, you should try to do that. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you have to spend all this, give away all your money. Yimko koma sheyeshwa. That you don't have to do. And the reason for that is because many say today we don't have such a qualified Talmud Chacham. Also today, the difference, let's say, between a boy that says that I'm a Talmud Chacham and a boy who says he's not officially a Talmud Chacham, it's not a halachic difference between them. This one's a little sharper, he's a little louder, he's more aggressive, he's more chashev, he's a little less chashev, because these are all things I wouldn't pay for. I pay for Balmidas. And Balmidas doesn't want me to pay him. But that's what I would pay for. I pay for Balmidas. Because the difference between a boy who's choshev and a boy who's choshev, and a boy who's choshev, is exactly the way I just said it. That's the difference. The sprach is a little sharper. He'll say a svar that's a little less krum than the other guy. All the svaras are krum. This was a little less krum. This guy you have to fight with 5 minutes till he chaps that he did this. So to go say that you have to spend, but the fact that you have to spend money to make a shidduch, that does have a mocker. So I would say that the money that you have to give in order to make a shidduch happen, that is money that's sanctioned by Chazal. Not al yimko koma sheyesh loy v'yasi v'yisa bas tamalach. In the shtickle that I asked the Olam to look up the shiltas and everything else on this inyan, you'll see that there's a difference. There's sometimes we use a lashon you should sell everything, and sometimes we just say you should do it. There's also a Rambam in Ilchus Deis, which I'm sure you saw, and the Rambam in Ilchus Yisurei Bi. It's a different Rambams. One reason to marry a bas Talmud Chacham is to connect to a Talmud Chacham. Uboy tidbak. That's one. And the other reason is because it's not Talmud Chacham, the mile of Talmud Chacham. So today I would say the halacha of Yimko Komashieshli doesn't apply. To that kind of Talmud Chacham today that you have to sell everything you have, that doesn't apply. If somebody reads the Ashidduch of Chaim Knievsky, then it's something else. But that there should be a din to sell everything you have, that I would say is not apply. However, the money that's required to make a Shidduch, that I would say is something that is absolutely is required and is al pidin. So in other words, whether it should be that way, that's a whole different shmuz. If you're asking me, should it be that way? Absolutely not. According to the Vilna Goyim, the way some people do it today, it's called noisei isha l'shem mamon. See, there's a whole. The Gemara says you should not marry a woman for money. And the Gemara says, Chas v'shalom, you marry a woman for money, havin lebonim she'enim uganim. It affects the offspring. Okay? There is a debate in the poiskim, in the rishonim, achronim, what is it called, l'shem mamon? Some rishonim, l'shem mamon means a woman that's actually no good. P'sul yichas. You're marrying her because money is overshadowing the chesloimus. You know, they say of Reb Chaim Volozhin, once called him one of his talmidim, he said, I heard you did a shidduch with this family, the brothers of Mechalel Shabbos. And Chazal say that Roy Bonim Daimon Lachayim, the brothers of Machal Shabbos. So he told his Rebbe, Ein holchen b'momen acher harayv. Says roiv banim v'im. Ein holchen b'momen acher harayv. So, but the Goyen, the Vilna Goyen says not like that. The Vilna Goyen says, the Vilna Goyen learns that if you marry a woman only because there's money, and if there wouldn't be money, you wouldn't do the shidduch. That's called noisy shul shema. The fact that moment is a mile, okay, a person is a boss of it, I mean, everybody looks at money as a mile. But to say that if not for the money, I wouldn't marry this person, it has to be money, the Vilna Goyen knows that's called noisy shul shema. The fact that a boy should feel that he doesn't have an achrayas, that's chazatrev. Chazatrev. I'm a chanach every single one of my talmidim. The achrayas is yours. If your wife supports you, your shver supports you, it's very nice. If you're sitting and learning it, beautiful. But that's not, they're doing for you. This is your job. This is your achrayas. That's a kumkeit that a bocher could, you know, develop and think that this is his achrayas. It's other people's achrayas. It's not other people's achrayas. It's his achrayas. They're doing his achrayas. If the shver is giving you $1,000, he's doing your achrayas. He's paying your bill for you. It's your bill. It's your bill. He's paying your bill for you. That's very, very important because that's a kumah. So Allah Halamais, I say like this. The only children that I feel that should be supported are children that are Allah Torah Val Avoida. That's number one. I feel that if a child is not Allah Torah Val Avoida, and they're just using it as a way to have a couple of years of easy sailing, then you're facilitating negativity. Absolutely. You see, but before marriage, it's more complicated. Because of two reasons. We ran out of time already, but for two reasons. Before marriage, the street out there today is so, it's so distorted in all ways, morally, ethically, that to take a boy today at the age of 17 and say, okay, you know, you're not really learning, go out there, is, in my opinion, you're throwing him to the wolves. So I feel that a yeshiva is a little bit of an Ari Miklat as well. So if you want a Mayash cover, it's protecting a kid from the world. It's very hard to tell a kid today at that age to hold his own out there without a yeshiva anchor. So even if the yeshiva is nothing more than Ari Miklat, he has his rabbeim, he has hashkafa, he's holding on to the yadus. It's kedai. But that line has to be drawn somewhere. I'm just saying, if you ask me, I feel today, I've seen many cases where boys leave the yeshiva at a younger age and things deteriorate in many other ways besides for learning. So that's a, but clearly, post-marriage, if somebody is now out Torah Val Avoida, and they're just being supported and they're having an easy life, that Lefianis Daiti is bordering over an Isser. Not just, if somebody is learning, then you could designate it either as a Yisachar Zvon type of deal and support them in a more luxurious fashion. Or if somebody is supporting a son-in-law in a Bakovatika way, the son-in-law should then make a Yisachar Zvon deal with the Shver, in my opinion. Shouldn't be stuck. For what? For Yisachar Zvon? How about that? I think it's me, Yisachar Zvon. Avadi, you could say you could put them. It's much more than ma'aser, but avadi, you could use ma'aser money for that. It's not a dover shebechayve.
The
non-yisachar zvon. I mean, regular stoker, 100%. If the son-in-law is learning on a Torah or avoda, but again, I'm telling you now, I don't want to say what the percentages are. It's not my job to say what the percent. I have in my mind what the percentages are, but I'm not going to share it with you. But I will tell you, there is a percentage of young people out there that are being supported. Lufani is daiti, it's shaloy apidin. And it's also breeding people to become incapable, dependent, and it's stalker vihine tzaka. It's absolutely wrong. Now whatever you need to get a good boy, I'm not talking about the spitz bocher, the bocher, the lamden, a good boy, that's included in the halacha that you have to marry off your children. And even if it costs money. Again, I'm not sanctioning that that's the way the system should be. I'm just saying that does have halachic grounds to it. Whatever that amount is that you have to in order to make a shidduch. What do you mean? Yeah, that's a mitzvah to marry off your child. It's a mitzvah to marry off your child. It's not the shatran fee, the shatran fee not, but I'm saying the supporting, you're talking about the supporting after the chasna. You could use my, if that's required, that was the only way to make the shidduch. Then you could use that. Now, as far as the concept of taking a young man and telling him that he should be learning, in my view, it should be somebody that says that they're going to learn at least 10 hours a day. If a boy is not ready to give 10 hours a day, if you ask me what my gvul is, 10 hours a day. A boy who says, I put in 2 hours in the morning, and there are such boys, that are, and those a lot of times are called learners. Those are not called a batlon. A guy comes to yeshiva 10:30, and he learns for 2 hours to 10:30 to 12:30. Stark! He's even a tumor, he's called a chosh of avacha. Now he's a chosh of a young man. 12:30 he goes home, it's shana v'shana, it's his wife. So 12:30 to 3:30 he's home, they go to eat out, whatever they did, it's kishmak. Credit cards, machayit. Then, 4 to 6, stark! I'm telling you, a guy like that could get away with it, that he's a starker guy. A guy who's learning 4 hours a day is not even meeting the criteria of what the Rambam says about a boss if he's learning. So a young, healthy person that says, I'm learning 4 hours a day and I have to be supported, that's not Pi Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is somebody who's learning to such a degree that they can't juggle other work with it. And if they could juggle other work, 2 hours of work, they should do 2 hours of work. Have them do something. Do something on the website. There's things you could do to make some money. But it should only, people that are being, if a guy's learning 10 hours a day, to me that's a full time, he's learning. He's putting in a full morning, so he's putting in a full. Second Seder, he's learning a little bit at night. That's a full, that's a gabba rabba. But a guy's not learning 10 hours a day. He should be doing something. Something on the side. Like according to the Shulchan Aruch. It has to be that there's some kind of din v'cheshbon. Not, and if you don't make a din v'cheshbon with your kid, then you're facilitating anius. You're facilitating dependency, which is like facilitating anius. Okay, let's stop. Rabbi Sa, if anybody wants, I can give another 5 minutes piece on the idea of Stam, the importance of picking a good family. If you want that, I can give another 5 more minutes because that I didn't touch upon. So if you want, I'll give you 5 more minutes on that. Okay. Because we spoke already about the difference between a choshev bochel and not a choshev bochel. And I'm telling you, I'm Baruch Hashem and Chinuch for close to 24 years, and I'm telling you that the difference between, very often, the difference between a choshev bocher and not a choshev bocher, very often doesn't even exist. And very often the not choshev bocher is more choshev than the choshev bocher. Very often. Because the ikar is the midas. The ikar is the person's, you're not dealing anymore, it's not like I'm all a good sight, and when they tell you today a mitzuyan, what does a mitzuyan mean? It means he learned 20 blad in this masechta, 20 blad in that masechta, 30 blad. When they tell you mitzvah, you're not talking about shas and pesach. You're not getting a son-in-law you can sit down and say, tell me pshan the sugin zvachim. Tell me pshan the gemara. You're talking about a guy, he can go like this a little better. The other guy is like a little awkward. He says, it's a rajbo. The other guy goes, rajbo. But I'm just telling you the difference between, and I've seen this, and the difference between, believe it or not, there are, like you go to an Esrik Lahabdal and Esrik Secha, they have what they call a Sug Aleph Esrik, and then they have Sug Aleph Plus. So I'm telling you the difference between Sug Aleph and Sug Aleph Plus and Shidduchim, which they use that terminology also, is very often nothing more than language. It's how the guy speaks. So don't. If you can't understand what they're saying, that's very chush. That guy's so chush. Mamish can't. I know him for 20 years, I don't know what he's saying. You got him to see him. No. The Ikea is the boy's character. His nature, that's the Ikea. How much the Torah is in him? Those are the Ikea. Okay, because how much Torah is there in this boy? 99.9% of the boys today are pretty much Amaratzim. According to Halacha, Amaratzim. That means the Talmud Chacham is somebody, you could be Shoyal Halacha B'chol Mokim. You could ask him Halacha anywhere in Shulchan Aruch and he could answer. It doesn't exist today. So that, The Talmud Chacham, the premier Talmud Chacham, we're not dealing with. So we're dealing with the way, that's the way I'm telling you the emes. I just went through the parasha myself. I was looking for a top Talmidus who's holding and learning. Just not do, and I would prefer if I do understand what he says, grata. This is the preference I had, even though it's not so chashuv. So, family. Family is one point I want to bring out because it's very important. People want to know, how much should you put focus on family? Because this comes up a lot. Sometimes they read you a very good shidduch. Family is not 100%. So first of all, you have to know, when we say the family is not 100%, what does that mean? That's number one, you have to know what it means. We have the Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud, says that Aaron Akeim, he married Achois Nachshon. The Gemara says from here, you see that you're supposed to check the brothers? As I state in the Gemara, right? So that Gemara is a foundation to check that you don't just look at the person. Because without that Gemara, you'd say, just look at the person, who cares? The brother's a murderer. And again, if you're embarrassed to come to shul, that's something else. Go to therapy, whatever. But if it's a top shit, if the girl's a top girl, glad that the brother was a murderer. Okay, so the brother's a murderer. Okay, so you don't want, fine, pekam mishpoch, I'm not saying. But the Gemara tells us that you should look. The Gemara says, livdek, tzarech sheyivdek. So you should check. The problem we have is that Yitzchak Avinu married Rivka, the brother of Lavan. Lavan wasn't a tzatzke. So they asked this to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, how could you say Tzorech Livdek Ba'achel if Yitzchak Avinu wasn't Medaktik Ba'achel? Reb Chaim says a big chiddush. He says, as long as there's a sibling that's good, that's enough. He says, so maybe there was another brother besides Halavan, that wasn't a Rasha. We don't see anywhere that there was another brother, but that's, Reb Chaim says maybe. The Stipler also, by the way, holds this way. He holds when it says you check the siblings, it doesn't mean every single sibling has to be a tzaddik. It means that there are positive siblings, that's enough. You see that there was a positive genetic or a positive chinuch, that's enough. He says. But the question is bigger than the teretz. The kasha is a gevaldik kasha. How did Yitzchak not... So I once was by a simcha where one of the uncle of the Baal Simcha got up to speak. And you know, very often this happens. You have a relative in the family. And he asked this question. And I don't mind if a guy holds a harash bahag. And it's nice that an uncle should speak by a simcha. But sometimes they say something that you feel like just... See, he started saying that Yitzchak didn't know. He didn't know about it. Yitzchak didn't know. How do we know now? We know because how did Aaron know? Aaron looked at Yitzchak and went, "Woo, he had Esav." Oh, I know why he had Esav, because he married Lavan's sister. I'm not going to do the same. So basically, Yitzchak didn't know what he was doing, but Aaron did, and Aaron learned basically from Yitzchak. This was his shtickle term. Then he applied it to the at hand. I'm just saying that was his. And the Avos HaKadoshim, they knew the whole Torah, with all the Sistrei Torah, with all the Ramazim, to tell me that the others, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Chazal gives all kinds of cheshbonos, why Yitzchak had Esav, and there was a whole cheshbon. That was supposed to be that way, it wasn't by chance. It's the way it was supposed to be. Anyway, so Lamaisa, the bottom line is we see that Yitzchak did marry Rivka, in spite of that. So I wanted to explain to you like this. The Marsha on the spot there in the Gemara, he says, what's the reason why you should check? Why do you check the siblings? But a sibling's not after brothers, it's sisters too. The Rush brings down, the same halach applies to sisters. You know, if they're sisters that are Rishoyim, or... So the Marsha says a very interesting thing. The Marsha says that the reason why you check the siblings is because they're all born with a particular nature. There's genetics. And if you see a midara in a brother, it shows that there's some genetic bad genes. Bad genes. Of course, bad genes can be overcome. But if you see there's a bad midara, either in a brother or a sister, that's a masha. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Levroch, and his Mechtovim v'Ma'amorim, Chilek Vov, he learns mamish like the masha. He says very interestingly, when you check a family, And this, people go way off with this. When you check a family, don't check how chashuv the siblings are, don't check how chashuv the... That's not the point. Check the nature. Because that's what you're checking. So in other words, according to Rav Shach, if the girl had a brother, or the brother had, or the boy had a sister, right? That went off the derech! But they're kind people. They're good people. They went off the derech. Rav Shach says, being on the derech, off the derech, that's bechira chofshis. That's up to the person, what they choose in life. Hashem gives every human being the choice to pick to be this way or to be that way. He says if a sibling picked to be a Mechal Shabbos or to have Kruma Hashkofas, that's Bechira. That's not what you have to check into. That was the Bechira Hashem gave each one of the siblings to be how they want to be. What you check is the Midas. What comes out according to Rav Shach, very often people are totally lopsided. Because what do? They check out if they hear, oh, this the older sister, she's brilliant, she's... That's not what you're looking for. The older brother, he's a ganze rashku ba'ag, or gavaldik, the older brother. Could be the older brother has bad midas. And it could be even the older brother is struggling and he's working on himself, which is good. But don't marry them. The Drosha Salam tells us that Avraham Avinu wanted a shidduch from his family because his family were blessed with good nature. So it comes out, according to the Marshon, Rav Shach, Yitzchok did check into the family. He checked into the genes. What Lavan decided to do, he decided to be a shtickle and shtick. He was involved in Ponzi schemes. Okay, his Yitzchok got a hold of him. But the Marshon is Mamish Gevaldik. The way the Marshon and Rav Shach learn, it's Mamish Gevaldik. Mamish Gevaldik. So according to that way, what you should only, when you check a family, check their nature. Period. That's the beginning and the end. That's what you should check. Not as if you're a schnitz, how would you feel in shul next to the guy? Is he your type? Does he look close? Does he look like this? What do they eat on? What kind of china? What's the hot? What is it? What car? This is all marishkeit. You're checking nature. And it could very well be that shidduch that you think is a bidiyevet shidduch, that's a lechatchila shidduch because they have good nature. And that shidduch that you think is very choshev, is a bad shidduch, because they have bad dhanu. Rav Shach holds, you check the midas. Period. The only other way to learn is like the stipler. And the stipler says when you're checking a shidduch, what you're really checking is the chinuch. Not the nature, the chinuch that they got. And on that, the stipler actually says, today, this was in the time of Chazal. Today we have yeshivas and botei chinuch. So every single boy and girl that went to yeshiva is called a bas talmid chacham and a ben talmid chacham. That's the disciples. So it comes out either way. If you're going disciples approach, then every kid is a bas talmid chacham. If you go like the Marsha and Rav Shach, then what you check into is the midas. And that's it. There's only one last thing I would say is critical. And that's shalom bayis. Because the one chinuch that they get from the house is a shalom bayis. And I am always shocked, beyond shocked, that I never get this question. I can tell you over the years, I never get a question. They asked me everything I could possibly think of and what not. What I couldn't have even imagined. People's nusach. What nusach they daven? Is it the real nusach? Is it the nusach they pick up in yeshiva? Wear a gartel, don't they wear a gartel? What is it? It's not normal, the questions that people ask. Not normal. Where the person davens? Why do they daven there? Is that their type shul, or is they just there because they're close to the rov? You would not imagine. I never get the question, is there shalom bayis in the house? That's the one chinuch that doesn't come from the yeshiva. The one chinuch that actually is homegrown is shalom bayis. Nobody asks the question. I'm telling you, adayim azeh. I sometimes say, by the way, there's great shalom bayis in the house. They go, okay, shkech. Sometimes I can't control myself. I know that there's a family that has murder shalom bayis, not everybody has. Okay? Sometimes I know this family, it's like the shalom bayis is unbelievable. So then I volunteer it. I say, you should know, there's murder that can shalom bayis there. So that's what I would tell you. Number one, you should check the nature of the family. That's the most important. And according to Rav Shach and the Marsha, that's thicker. Number two, as far as the chinuch, it goes by the yeshivas and the batei chinuch, like the stipler says. And as far as the home characteristic, is the shalom bayis is the ikar. And those are the things that I would say is the Iker. Okay, Kol Tov.